Hey Bahamas, welcome to another episode of Candid, where we have real talks with real people. I'm your host, Bethany, and I'm here with Anise, Shanae, and Dudley. Thanks for tuning in. Last week, we had a very insightful conversation with Catherine Gomez, an alumna of the University of the Bahamas. And during that episode, we touched a little on the orange economy and how Catherine found her ideal job within her field. And so we thought that this month would be perfect to continue highlighting locals doing their part to sustain our Bahamian orange economy. And I know we keep throwing this word orange economy around, but for those who don't know, according to the Bahamas Development Bank, the orange economy, also known as the creative economy, includes all sectors based on creation of intellectual property. Now, don't get too sidetracked with all the fancy words, but all that means is the purpose of the orange economy is to reproduce, to promote, to disseminate, and or the marketing of goods, services, and activities that have cultural, artistic, and patrimonial content. And so today we have with us Miss Azalea. Welcome. And with all that being said, Azalea, why don't you give us a brief intro to your craft and how you got started?
So I have a few crafts that I do. So I blog. I am a motivational and inspirational blogger. I also vlog and I do photography. Those are the few things I do for now, but I'm also expanding in different areas. I got started back in 2018. So I was out of high school for a minute and I basically had a dark cloud over my head. I was trying to figure out what it was I wanted to do. You know, you have your parents who are telling you, you know, oh, you need to do this, you need to go to school, you have to do that. But on the other hand, I wanted to do something else. And I became very stuck in my mind. I guess you could say became a little depressed. And like my only escape was writing. And once I started writing, I realized that that became like an outlet for me. And then I launched my blog, Blooming with Azalea, of August 2018. And from there, it just grew. And it's almost been 4 years. It hasn't been 4 years yet, but I've almost been blogging for about 4 years now.
Were you always confident in your writing? Like, were you the student to always get A's in like lit and English?
You know what's so funny about this whole ordeal was that I was good. You know how they always say you only could be one. Either you're good in math or you're good in English. I was good in English and lit. But I wouldn't say I was like the top student in the class. Like I had classmates who were ridiculously amazing in English class and lit. But to say that I was in the top of the class, no, I was like your average, you know? So I even found it strange. And I look back being in high school to now, and it's like, I never would have thought I would have been writing. I'm sure if my English teacher was to see me now, she'd probably be proud of me though.
I'm pretty sure she would. I have a favorite English teacher just like that. But you also said you do photography. So how did that start? Because you're ultra doing a lot.
I'm just going with the flow of life right now. So photography actually started as well when I was in high school. And I've been out of high school for a minute. And I used to rent, so I actually started using my iPad at one point. I think this was like in the 10th grade. I started using my iPad and I just started taking photos of me and my classmates because it's like the final 3 years. It's like, oh my gosh, it's crunch time. Like after these 3 years, that's it. You go your separate ways. And then, we had a photography club. So if you had your own like camera, Canon, Nikon, whatever, you were permitted to bring it. And you would be able to be a part of the yearbook club. And I spoke to my computer teacher and I told him, okay, like taking photos, but I don't have a camera. So I used to use the school's camera, started taking photos there. And then once I graduated, automatically that stopped because I didn't have my own camera. And then I, the beginning of last year, so in 2021, in 2020, it was a brief thought. I said, I think I want to get back into my photography. And then not until like the end of 2020, going to 2021, was when I started my photography officially. And I said, I'm just sitting here on some talent and a gift. I shouldn't let it go to waste. So in January of 2021, I launched Zalia Photography.
And how's that been going for you so far? Because I know a lot of times people start businesses and they kind of get a bit, I'd say, not depressed, but unsettled because, you know, especially with the pandemic going on and before that, you just have so many people in this one industry. Is that a challenge for you? How are you kind of dealing with all of that?
So to answer the first part of the question, it's been going good. I always have to remind myself, like, don't have the highest expectation, just start. The goal is to start and to remain motivated. I feel like you cannot be fazed by, you know, one minute you have your whole month is booked out. And then the next month you have barely any bookings. You cannot let that faze you. And that's in anything you do, especially when it comes to being a young entrepreneur, you're going to have lots of moments where you feel like giving up because you feel like, you know, I'm not getting enough money or I'm not getting enough people who are interested. And it's like, you can't focus on that. Like, it's going to come. Just continue in the meantime, continue practicing. So for me, even when I didn't have bookings and what's not, I would simply just call up one of my friends. I'd be like, hey, you want to have a free photo shoot? They'd be like, sure. What's the theme? And I would say, listen, I just need to get some practice in. And I would just work on my craft. So I have my good days and I have my bad days, but I'm grateful. Like because I think I love it so much, I just haven't stopped. And I feel like a lot of people go into the quote unquote entrepreneur thing of creating their own business because they're watching people on social media, right? And when you watch people on social media, they just showing you all the money they make and how successful they are, but they never show you behind the scenes, which is the frustration. And when they go through moods of not having any work to do or any bookings, so they just automatically think that it's going to be a consistent go, 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 go. No one ever talks about the moments where it's slow. So I think that's something I had to learn. And it's also something I think people need to kind of get in their head. Like, it's not easy. You're going to have moments when you on top of your game. And then you're going to have moments where it's like, okay, like what's happening? Why is everything slowing down? And you can't look at other person's success because they're only showing you the positive side of it. Not everyone is going to show you like the downside or the negative side of it.
Well, you are right. Like, I know a lot of times people, I mean, even for me, when you look at the product that a lot of people place online, it's kind of easy to fall into prey to say, oh, this thing is so easy. You know, I could easily mimic or do the same kind of visuals to make the same amount of money. But exactly, we have to remember the things we see online, especially in the US compared to the Bahamas, we don't even get paid the same. I know that for sure. And so if you had one, let's say I had a wand and you had one wish to kind of bring in whatever you wanted into the orange economy, like, so the Bahamas could actually, you know, kind of develop and grow. What would that one wish be? What do you think our orange economy needs to make it to the next level?
Wow, that's a good question. First, I feel like the foundation needs to be set that everyone needs to have an open mind. And I feel like just on experience and seeing, just as simple as in a workplace, right? Let's say you have an older person who's like the general manager, and you have someone like in set with us or in our age who comes up with a new idea, a new and improved idea, something that's over the top, but they are confident that would work. You would find that the older person would be quick to shut it down. They want to keep the old school. And then, you know, they look down at younger people and they're like, okay, you don't know what you're talking about, you know. And it's almost like the older generation wants to feel threatened, but there's no reason to. So I feel like the first thing to do is the country needs to have more of an open mind, like out with the old, in with the new. Now to say what is something the country can bring in, that is something you definitely would have to think on, because it's so much, but I would have to think on that one wish. Like, but I think the foundation needs to be set first, and that's for persons to first have like an open mind about like the what is it, orange economy? I have an open mind about that first, to welcome in the new.
Yeah, I had a question. So you said that you got into writing. I too like writing myself. So what is your blog about? Like, what do you talk about?
My blog speaks about just about any and everything. So I have a general part of my blog, which is called Azalea's Blog. So that speaks about real life situations, things that I've been through, whether it was me personally going through it or things that it hit home. It didn't have to necessarily be me, but it hit home. I speak about like my spiritual journey. I speak about self-love, self-care, anything to help a person to grow and bloom. It's basically like a journey. So if you read my blogs, you would see it almost gives you like a journal vibe, but also like a reality check, and also gives you like, okay, she's making sense, like to give advice and to help persons in their early, they're like who are in their, yeah, their older teens, young adults, like persons like 16 to 20, 20 to 25. Yeah, like just about anything I would speak about. And then I also have a little bit of poetry on my blog and some promos that I do where I write little reviews on Bahamian brands and stuff, because I love supporting Bahamian brands.
Okay, so do you have like a process for picking like topics, like, or is it just so whatever comes to your head or whatever you think is important at this point?
I always like when people ask me that. So, you know, you have the regular social media bloggers content where they always put out something on a scheduled day, or they have a set week where they post whatever. I am not like that at all. As things transpire, as things happen is when I write, or I would wait until the situation is done, or I've already stepped out of that. I've opened that door, closed that door, and then I write about it. So you would find that there, you would think that I'm not writing at all. And then there are months where it's like, okay, she's really at it this month. On a regular, I probably would post at least 2 to 3 blogs max on my website a month. And then sometimes it just depends on what it is and how is it going, almost like an update and stuff.
Do you have a lot of support from viewers, from your family, friends? Like, how is that?
I do get support from my family, friends, support from persons that I don't know. I'm always actually in shock when, I don't know why, but I always get in shock when I see someone I haven't seen in years and I'm out and they're like, oh, I read your blogs. So I'm like, oh, you do? I really didn't know that. And when I say that, they're like, and they could literally tell me each blog post I've written about almost every topic that I have written on, they can tell me about. But my family, they do support me. They would sometimes even say to me, you know, hey, I know you're upset, but hey, remember what you wrote about the other day when you said X, Y, and Z? I was like, yeah, you're right. But I do get the support from my, actually, when I started blogging, the idea didn't come to me from me. The idea came from two of my aunts and one of my friends. One was saying, oh, you should do a book, because I started out doing like normal journaling type of thing on Snapchat. You just, you know, you would type little things on your story. I was doing stuff like that. And then eventually someone said, oh, you should write a book. And then another person said, you should do blogging. And I was like, okay, what the heck is blogging? Like, what do I do? And they just said the same thing that you're doing, writing on your status, you just create a website and do that. And that's how that idea came. And I worked on it. I did my research, and that, the rest is history. So
what is the most influential blog post that you've ever written? Like, what did you see the most comments from?
I have a few. I think one of the ones I really got a lot of feedback on was lessons. I have one called Lessons Learned During COVID and Surviving COVID. Those were the two. And I think those two were, I want to say, were most viewed or popular, because, you know, we are in the middle of a pandemic. So I persons were able to relate to those two. And then I had a post that was about solace in the valley. And that's basically based on Psalms 23. And, you know, when you're going through hard times and you feel like giving up, but sometimes you have to walk through the, you know, they say, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And with that one, I basically just opened up and was vulnerable to let people know, like, hey, I go through valleys every once in a while. It's not easy. I hate walking through them. But at the end of the day, I have to have faith and trust God and just continue walking forward, not walk back, because, you know, it's a journey. Everything is a process. So I can't say just one. It's those three that I get feedback on.
Okay, so I'm going to backtrack a tiny bit. I know when you were talking about all that entails with your blog and your blogs and photography business, you did mention that you incorporate poems. Do you write these poems, or have you sourced poems from other locals, since you are one that loves to support other Bahamians?
I actually do source them out. There are two persons that I usually reach out to in particular. One goes by Lanier's Poetry. Her name is Celeste. And then another person is, his name is Michael Johnson. They are the main two that do poems, and I would usually post them on my website. And that came about because I'm not a person who liked to read books. And as a younger kid, that seemed to be an issue. Like, my mom couldn't get me to read books. I hated reading books. But then as I got older, I realized that I liked reading poems more than storybooks or, you know, regular books. And once I realized that, and I reached out to these two persons in particular because I know them personally, I just said, hey, I know you started your little poetry thing on social media. How would you feel like every once in a while, every once in a blue moon, I share my platform with you and you're allowed to post your poem on my website? They agreed to it, and that was that. And they would usually just ask me, hey, is there anything you want the poem to be about? And sometimes I would say, yeah, and I would give them a few pointers or ideas, or give them my thoughts, and they would make it into a poem. And then other times I'm just like, no, write whatever, and I will share it on my website.
And see, that's one of the beauties about the Orange Economy, because the networking that you can actually do for yourself within the Bahamas, I think we have a large network. I mean, when you look at the amount of talent in this one little country, it's beyond me to even fathom how we are still kind of lagging behind other countries when it comes to like putting out videos and TV shows and all of that. We have the people and the potential to kind of push our country to the forefront, because Bahamians, we funny, we dead funny. Like anything we could make into a joke. Anything.
Everything is a joke.
And so for us to still be lagging in this industry is kind of baffling. But mm-hmm. I do recall the Prime Minister giving an address he made a pledge, let me say that, to boost the orange economy. And so their way of doing it is, you know, kind of establishing a national arts recording studio and a center for, you know, all creatives in the country. But do you think it's about time we started giving our Bahamians that platform? Like, I feel like it's about time. And I hope that this initiative isn't pushed under the rug, because it kind of came into fruition when Sir Sidney passed. And so that kind of boosted a lot of people to say, well, he came from the Bahamas and he did so much. And to even think of how much Bahamians are flocking to other countries because we aren't taking our own people seriously. Like, it's baffling. Or am I the only one feeling this way?
You're not, because just the other day, me and one of my coworkers were speaking and they got so passionate because the first thing they said was, if he was still in the Bahamas, he wouldn't have been successful as he is now. Like, why is it that he had to move away from home to get all of this attention, right? And I feel like, I don't know what it is about our country. Like, it's like 50, we support our own, but we don't. We love to get off when someone says, oh, I want to start doing this and I want to start doing that. It's a joke, right? Then the minute the person starts being successful, oh, we're friends, oh, I know him, or I know her, and all of a sudden, you know, everyone's hyped to be around you, but it's like, where was that support in the beginning? Like, you would now, I'm getting a little bit of stardom, now you want to come around and support? Why weren't you there from the beginning? And I feel like that's where everything is a joke comes from. Like, even when it comes to our artists, some of our Bahamian singers and stuff, I feel kind of bad sometimes, because I feel like when they make music and it has that Bahamian touch, that Bahamian flavor, they sometimes feel like, some just by listening to some of their songs, sometimes they probably feel like, okay, I gotta, this song isn't making it. And then the next thing they do is they Americanize their music. They try to add some kind of pop, or they just try to make it something that it's not, or they make it sound more American and then add a hint of Bahamian. Like, why do they always feel like they may have to, why does it, to me, and this is my opinion, why does it feel like you have to do that just to get some recognition from your own, you know? And again, this is why I say, I feel like our country needs to be more open-minded. Like, the other day, the host of More 94, his name is Trey, he posted something on his Facebook and Twitter of two Bahamians who got YouTube plaques. One, I think, got a silver, and another one, I think, got a gold, or maybe both of them got a silver plaque from YouTube. That is very rare to see a Bahamian who lives in the Bahamas get an actual, like, YouTube plaque for just YouTubing. And it sucks, because sometimes you have Bahamians who automatically think, oh, I'm going to start this YouTube channel and I'm going to be getting a whole lot of subscribers. But a lot of persons don't realize what may take 2 years for someone who live in the States, it's probably going to take us 5 or 10 years just before we're even recognized, like, so much on that level, which is sad. So I am really hoping that, you know, with all that just happened, that they begin to recognize the creatives in the Bahamas, because we have so much talent here. It's ridiculous. We have so much, but I don't feel like they're ever, they're given the opportunity, but I feel like not enough is done for them. That's just my opinion, just from observing.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Even some people, like, I don't know if you guys know Tipsy Bartender, but his mom is Bahamian. I think she sent him over there when he was, he moved away or whatever. And he's pretty successful on mm-hmm. YouTube or whatever. And there's also a lot of other Bahamian YouTubers that we've encountered. And it's just, it seems difficult for them to make profit, or even like Bahamian, like to be part of like the creative fund and stuff like that. So I think that's also like a part of the reason why people move. But then I feel like if we would take our orange economy seriously, then I feel like our government, just Bahamians on the whole, we could advocate for each other to make these businesses or these large platforms take us seriously. So
I agree.
Yeah, that's how I feel about that as well.
Because I feel like if other Bahamians can do it, I feel like all can do it. For me, it's like, why the hell should I have to move from my home, what I know, to a whole different country, far, far away, just to make it? Like, why can't I be in the comforts of the country where I was born and make it?
And doing the same thing.
Exactly. That hurts me sometimes. And then even me, being a writer, and now and I just recently started YouTube. In my mind, one of the reasons why I even held back for so long was because am I ever gonna make it? Like, that's always the question that's in the back of my head. Am I going to make it? Because it's so many moments where it's like, okay, I have to be consistent. I have to keep pushing. Because at the end of the day, like they say, you just never know who's watching. But it sucks that a lot of us feel like we have to leave to be successful. And then I guess it's almost something like what my dad would say to me, there's nothing, what is here? What is left for us here? And there's nothing really here. What is your future here? Because I feel like the government and our country as a whole just needs to be open-minded to a lot of things. I feel like they would realize, oh, hey, we probably should have tried this from a long time. Like, I feel like the way this world is, our country could have been out of debt, I ain't gonna lie, or working its way out of debt. But it seemed like we just keep adding on to the debt instead.
Man, there's just so much passion in your voice. Your voice even starting to break on what you're talking about. This, you know, you sound like you're on the verge of tears. And it's sad that such passion is hardly recognized by the government. And we're getting to the point now where they're like, oh yeah, we realize that the Bahamians are a little creative. Let's do something with this. But as pretty much an independent creator right now, you know, and as a blogger, out of all things, because, you know, people don't necessarily read like that. But, you know, I'm sure somebody could learn from your story. So how is it that you make money from what you write and things like that, if you don't mind sharing that?
So I'll be honest, and I'm going to be very real when I say this. When I started blogging and the content creating, I could have cared less about the money. Honestly, money was not on my mind. And I think at the time, it was because me blogging was therapeutic and it was like a journal. So it wasn't like the first thing on my mind. But then after a while, when I started watching other Bahamian bloggers who write and I see they was making money, I say, okay, maybe I could do this. So it goes with the way I make money right now, and I'm starting to very slowly. It's not every day, every week I'm making money from it, but slowly I would have a Bahamian brand. They would reach out to me because they can reach out through my website, or if they want, they can reach out to me through social media. They would say, hey, I have a product, or I have this thing I want you to try. Would you mind doing it or writing a blog review and stuff like that? And I'd be like, sure, no problem. So I have a segment on my website that's called Blooming Sensations. That there is where the money would generate from. Because like I said, I like to support Bahamian brands wherever I can. Just recently, actually, this new up-and-coming cosmetic line is called Royalties Luxe Cosmetics. She just fairly reached out to me to be an actual brand ambassador. And when she sent the email, I was like, is this spam? But then when I looked at it, it was really authentic. And she explained what all it would incorporate and how the money would work. And right now, that's my way of generating some income. I try not to put money as the first thing, but people reach out. They want little shout outs, little highlights here and there, little paid partnerships. So that's how I do it, really.
Okay, while we're on the topic of finances, just so I could give our audience a brief insight on how the orange economy could impact our country. In Colombia, in 2017, the creative and cultural industries generated over 240,000 jobs from 2005 to 2017. Imagine how much jobs could have been created already and basically sustained even throughout the pandemic from most of them. If we had, you know, kind of nurtured this industry in our country a long time ago, because we've been leaning on the tourism industry forever. Like everybody in this country knows that. And it always comes up when we start talking about, you know, our financial status in the country. And I feel once Bahamians really understand how important and how beneficial the orange economy could be, they would put more effort, the government, the private sector, they would put more effort into, you know, funding creative schools and creative arts. Funding, I know the small business development, they're doing a little initiative, granting people funds to start their businesses. Stuff, initiatives like this is what will boost our economy. Now, of course, in Colombia is extremely bigger than us, but we see that there is profit in it. And, you know, for many Bahamians, we, like we said, we have the talent, but we don't have the support. We don't have that support system. And so I think once we really understand how influential this could be for our country, and especially during this era where a lot of children, you know, they thrive on social media. We could use this to build a stronger generation when it comes to finances. But that could just be me. And that's my opinion. What do you guys think?
I don't know if you guys have heard about it, but there's this new name series that's airing on YouTube called Beneath the Gates. And really, it's shot really well. And the actors, they aren't trying to do that whole, you know, Americanized version of acting. They're acting in a way that is pretty believable. Like, if you know Bahamians and you realize what the characters are trying to be, you can see it's like, oh, so they like the people who I know for real. Well, Marusek, I never thought I'd see it. And it's taking advantage of YouTube. So it's just showing signs that the Bahamas really, well, younger Bahamians really do have that creativity and the knowledge to be like, you know what, some of my talents might not necessarily make it on TV over here, but in terms of showcasing it to the world, you know, we Bahamians, we saw it. It's like Bethany say, we funny. Like most things Bahamians do is be funny unintentionally. So the fact that we could diversify and we have all these different options, and it could make individuals money, which then makes the country money, which just means the wealth gets shared more and more within the Bahamas is a great idea. And investing in it more is a really great idea. I think it's a real step forward in, you know, us seeing industries pop up, like new industries pop up that don't just involve.
Oh, I was going to say, I hope like one thing the government did learn is that they can no longer depend on tourism to move this country forward. They really cannot. And I pray to God that they don't. Like, tourism should not be our number one money to bring up the economy, because in recent studies and reviews, a lot of tourists don't even come to the Bahamas no more as they used to. A lot of them are now going to like Jamaica and Trinidad and the other Caribbean islands. I feel like our top one right now should be agriculture. And of course the orange economy, trying to like bring creatives out, because like, again, we have a lot of land, and like Mr. Turnquest said, like, we make a joke out of everything. And if we're not making a joke out of something, the minute someone insults our country, everyone, y'all ever realize when like a tourist or something, someone disses our country, there's always that one Bahamian who finds their social media account, shares it, and then everyone just hops on and just like tell the person off? Like, anyone else ever peep that?
United we stand, y'all. United we stand.
Exactly. And I wish that the government would realize, like, hey, we need to focus on the creatives in this country and the young adults in this country, because we have older creatives who I feel like some of them, they don't even want to share their secrets because they're trying to keep it to themselves. But it's like, you can't do that. Like, you have to open your ways, because one day you really won't be able to do it anymore. And we're going to still need those Bahamian creators who are going to take after you, even if they do it better than you. Like, time is up. Like, let someone else now have this platform. I think that's very, very important for us to get into. And I really pray that in these next couple of years, the government really gets serious about doing that, especially for us creatives.
I don't know. I think we can kind of use Dubai, that expo, as sort of it tells a lot of how much Bahamians don't really know how long creatives have been in the Bahamas, especially maybe the newer set, because I know they had like Dynamite Daisy and even Shabak. Like, honestly, personally, I have never heard of Shabak, yet they have been in existence for a long time.
Isn't that Clint Watson's
and a lot of people didn't really know Dynamite Daisy, and I'm like, I know about Dynamite Daisy. Sis been on show for a long time doing her work in the Bahamas. And so I'm like, we don't even know who we have at. And she used to do a lot of television shows like around Christmas time and stuff like that. But
is the thing with Dynamite Daisy, right? It's so funny. I can't remember live show thing at I can't remember what center that is, but it's like a live show or whatever.
The Dundas Center?
Yeah, thank you. The Dundas Center. Thank you so much. I haven't been there in years, but I'm sitting there watching it, right? And this lady walks past, beautiful, gorgeous woman, and she's dark. And my mom is like, you know who that is, right? I'm like, no. My mom is like, that's Dynamite Daisy. I say, oh, absolutely not. I was like, that is not all. My mom's like, yes, that's her. That's how she looks. And I'm like, this is powerful, because the way she is carrying herself as Miss Daisy is, she really out here. Like our babies say, we out here. She really used to be out here when she in character as Miss Daisy. But she's been around for a long time. But see, people wouldn't even know that, because I feel like she hid herself for a while. But Clint Watson's choir never knew that. I didn't even know he could sing, to be honest. No offense. He's good, though, but I never knew that about him.
I had a question for you, Azalea. Trying to play a devil's advocate just a tiny, tiny bit.
Yes, ma'am.
And let's say in, you would be about no more than 25. So let's say in 5 years, you give the government good 5 years to, you give the government and the public 5 years to kind of boost the orange economy, the orange industry in the country. Nothing happens. Do you see yourself as an entrepreneur, as a creative, staying here in this country? Let's say 5 to 10 years.
Yes and no. I think a part of me would want to stay here, which would be obvious reasons because, you know, my family is here. My mom and dad's here. My sister is here, right? But then there's a part of me that would leave because something that my dad always says, and my mother says it too, you have no kids. You don't have a family. You can just go. You can focus on yourself. You can just leave. And something my dad always says to me, there's nothing really here. So I'm kind of like stuck in the middle. There's a part of me that probably would be willing to go. And then there's a part of me that probably may just stay. But I feel like if I can manage to be a full on entrepreneur, creative, and make it and not have to worry about where's the next dollar coming from and stuff without having to go, I think I would stay here. But if I can't, then I'll see y'all on vacation when I travel in on vacation and when I want to get out the cold.
just send that address so I could send all my Amazon packages to you, sis.
No problem. Let me know when you're ordering from Fashion Nova.
LOL. But here's a question for the group. In a way, do we see our country as a country who's scared to step out, like scared to fail in a sense? Yeah, like we've been saying, we have a lot of talent and we know we have talent. So why hasn't our country taken that step? I feel like in a way, we may be scared as a country, as maybe a government sitting in power, to take that step because we don't believe in ourselves like we say we believe in ourselves and our people. So what are your ideas on that?
My thought on it, right? And I could definitely sound like the devil's advocate saying this, but I think it's so easy to blame the government, right? And sometimes it is their fault and it's the easiest scapegoat, right? But I feel that there's a culture and atmosphere of not wanting to support something that's new, that's different, because we're used to the same thing. And orange economy, it's so hard to define. There's so many different aspects of it and so many different talents and so many different things coming. Like, a lot of people are getting into poem and poetry, and a lot of Bahamians don't really relate to that, so they're like unsure of it. So I think that something we have to think about changing, even if the government were to put so much money into it, is how we view people in orange economy. It's more like we don't really like to support other Bahamians. As much as we say, oh, I love that, that's so funny, they're not going to send that person $5 to buy the camera equipment that they need or this or that, but they'd gladly spend $100 in Fashion Nova, not to put y'all under the bus. But that's how I feel about it. I feel like it's an atmosphere change that needs to happen.
Yeah, I noticed you spoke about poets, and just to pinpoint the I don't know her name, but the girl who did the poem for Joe Biden's inauguration, she went from, I wouldn't call her nobody, but a lot of people didn't know her, to that poet. And she got endorsements and sis was making bucks after that. And all she did was make a poem. And I'm not trying to belittle her artistic nature, but she used her talents, which was writing, somewhat of blogging, and she was able to create, generational wealth if she markets herself properly. And that is something that our country needs to emanate, because
exactly. And I think like the reason that she created so much wealth is because so many people liked what she did and supported her. So the government gave her that platform, but it was really the people in the audience who blew her up and supported her in the way that she needed. You know what I mean?
Most definitely. And I don't know if I'm sounding like I'm blaming the government for everything, but I do understand what you mean, Anise. It's everyone's job to kind of build this orange economy. Definitely agree with you there.
Do you guys feel like we are, I don't know if you guys know that like persons of color, Black people in particular, are starting to get recognized more for movies, music, just how you spoke about the poet who did for Biden's inauguration. Do you feel like being Black now, like how they have the Black Girl Magic thing, do you feel like that's now a trend, a quote unquote trend, and that's why a lot of Black persons are now getting recognized as well for what they do? Because once upon a time, like for commercials, it was, you would always see like white people. I don't mean to sound like I'm prejudiced or racist, because I'm not. But now all of a sudden, you're now noticing more Black people, more Black men, more Black women, or mixed couples in these commercials. And once upon a time, that you never used to see that. So what is you, what are you guys' opinion on that? Like, do you guys feel like it's a trend because they're now realizing like Black people are on the move, or are you genuine, like, or do you guys feel like it's a genuine thing? Like, it's finally our time.
I thought they're putting us in the hot seat time that we're supposed to be putting her in the hot seat. I feel like, in my opinion, even if there is a trend going on, I hope that every Black person who could benefit from it does benefit from it, because I see nothing wrong with it. Also, I feel that now a lot of Black people are now supporting other Black people and voicing their support and proving their support financially, you know, in those areas. And that's why now, I mean, because Black people, come on now, we was ever doing it. We was doing it. And so now it's just us also teaming with, you know, a lot of white people, a lot of other cultures and races, making us, you know, we're a group who stand out. And so I can't blame us for that. Like, I cannot. I can only thank the Most High and accept what He has granted us in this time of the world.
I think that the trend really started like after all of those riots that they were having in the States. I mean, it was building up before that, but I think that was definitely like the catalyst, like which really started it. Because before it was just kind of quiet and we were like just support whoever was blowing up. And then after those riots, like we became a lot more vocal about it. And instead of it being like a just an America thing, I mean, obviously there's racism and prejudice all over the world, but instead of it just being like, I feel like a lot of it is in America, just my opinion, or a lot of it that we see is that is like on the online is from America. And I feel like those recent riots were like televised nationally, internationally, and a lot of people stood together. And that's definitely why we see a lot more of a quote-unquote trend with it now.
I think that a lot of people around the world, like, for example, with TikTok, I feel like TikTok is a perfect example of this, because for those of you who browse any social media, you know, you'll see a TikTok video here and there, and there was this point in time where the Black people on the Black creators on TikTok, they were like, oh, you know, we provide a lot of content, we provide on here, but most of the content creators who are Black don't get that recognition like that. It turns into the, you know, it turns into the people of the people of other colors. They benefit a lot from our work. So I forget exactly which dance exactly or which song exactly is popular, but Black people were like, we're not going to make a dance to this. You know, a majority of them are like, we're not going to make a dance to this because some other race will copy it and then they'll get more credit for it than us. And for a long time, that song, you know, it did not blow up on TikTok like all those other songs. So I think what you find is that the creativity of Black people is the trend, you know, the creativity is the trend. Yeah, you have more of us in commercials, but if you see, like, if you see the type of complexion of the people in the commercials, like, you know, you're Black. I won't take that away from you, but you know, you ain't necessarily my shade of Black. You know, you ain't your skin
same
color.
Same chest, Dudley. They light skin with loose curly hair.
You're light skinned.
Bahari. You remember, sorry, not to cut you off, but remember a couple years ago when Bahari first launched the their Independence collection, everyone had an issue with it because it was just light skin with the curly hair. And then next lap go round, then they had like the dark skins with the nappy 4C hair and all that good stuff.
So you know what that, so all that shows is that, you know, they want you to be just Black enough to prove that they have diversity. And they like the talent that you have, because if you could take a Black person's talent and mold a different person over it, they'll be so happy, because that's the marketable thing. So if you light skin, in terms of marketing, you seem to have a bit of an advantage. That's just, you know, that's just the way it is. And that's the way it is around the world. Like you said, it happens with Bahari, so it happens over here. You can see it in America. You can see it all around the world, that if it's a Black person involved, they're on the brighter side of the spectrum. And no knocks to them for securing the bag. Like, that's your God-given skin color. Rock it for as hard and as far as they will let you rock it. Feel proud of yourself to take the money. But if we're saying it's like, oh, they're accepting us more, it's like, they're accepting a shade of us more, but they're definitely accepting our talent. Like, they want to use it for as long as they could. And then, you know, if you make one mistake, you could be as talented as you want, but make one mistake and be a shade too dark, you're done, son.
Let's diversify in the Bahamas. Like, everything is, there used to be an Instagram page a few years back, I think, something called Bahamas Hotties or something like that.
Bahamas and all those different pages.
Look at you. Right? Look how you know that. Oh my goodness.
What I say, that's good. What I said was a Facebook page. Anyway.
Deadly the mogul.
But have you, like, when I used to look at that page, one question I used to say is, why all these girls look the same? Light skin with a pretty curly hair. Where are the dark skin girls? Where are the dark skin Bahamians? Like, are dark skins not good enough? Like, what's happening?
Now you're getting into that conversation. Don't make me get into that conversation.
No, but let's be real.
We're going off track, guys.
Sorry.
We're going off track, but we ending up at the right station.
I love the conversation, and it definitely does show that there is, like, there needs to be a change in the atmosphere just in the Bahamas when it comes to prejudice and racism, and also just accepting each other for who we are, so that we can definitely have a better audience for the Orange Academy. It's what we're trying to say. That's what we're trying to say, right?
That is what we're trying to say. But if I could get a little bit of more big people out there, you know, some little big guys modeling in clothes, then it wouldn't look so awkward when I wear clothes. That's all I, you know, that's all I'm saying. I try to.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah, you know, it's behind, when you got a little bit of stomach, then it's be there. Like, half the clothes that people like is, oh, I can't wear it. My belly could show. I'm sorry. See, y'all has let me talk too much foolishness.
You're the comedic relief in what you talk about.
Okay, but just one last question before we end for Azalea. What's the end goal for you?
So my vision, and I'm going to, y'all don't judge me, but I almost want to be like the Bahamian Sarah Jakes. But I probably won't be as Christian as her, because I have to learn the sense a little more, because when I get passionate, I tend to, you know. But no, for real, for me, like, my goal at the end of the day is to have a really a brand, which would be Azalea, Blooming with Azalea, and under that umbrella I would have my photography, I want to have life coaching, I want to have like a, I want to be able to go to schools and speak, be a motivational speaker, and be able to speak to young adults and young kids and adults too, and like let them know, like, hey, listen, it's okay to not be okay. It's okay to not know what the hell it is that you don't know what it is you want to do. Because I feel like, you know, that's my goal. And to let people, even behemoths, know, like, you can make it. It's gonna take longer than most, but if I could do it, you can do it too. So, you know, and of course, make money as well, and be the one to break all, create generational wealth for my bloodline, and to break generational curses, and to show people, like, if I can do it, like, you can do it too. Just keep going. Don't stop. Everything is a process, but just keep going.
Girl, manifest that. Manifest it. But before we leave, I just want to say thank you to Azalea for sharing her creative journey with us. And to our Candid family, thanks for tuning in to another episode of Candid. You can follow us at Candid242 on Facebook and Instagram. Keep it real, Bahamas.